Well, good morning, everyone. Apologise that we're running a little bit late this morning, but for good reason. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:36 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet here this morning. And I also like to pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present. Just a reminder of public conduct at meetings under Section 32 of our standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. And be suitably dressed. Please turn off all your mobile devices or at least to silent mode, and if you need to take a call, please leave the meeting to do so. As chairperson, it's my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I might without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as decided by the chairperson, and that period may include future meetings. Just to be clear, I know we've got some media here from Queensland Rugby Unions, and you are able to take photos, I think, because I think you've travelled the distance to actually grab some. So, leave of absence. Today we have a leave of absence for Councillor Golay, who is attending an Eco City World Summit 2017 in Melbourne. Could we have a remover and seconder, please, that we accept that leave of absence? Move Councillor Boglari, seconder Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. And it's carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott is absent. Devotional segment. I'd like to welcome Reverend Linda Hamill from Trinity Uniting Church to lead Council in a brief devotional segment. Over to you, Reverend.
Thank you. I don't like to be a person who just whips the Bible out and then throws bits at people, and so because you might actually throw bits back, and that wouldn't be good. So some context to you about the words that from the letter to the Ephesians that I'll read in a moment. It is a letter, and there are several themes that run through the letter to the Ephesians. One of them is the greatness of God. A second is salvation in Christ. But the third theme that runs throughout the entire letter is unity. And I'll speak more about that unity. You see, if you were a Jew or not a Jew during this time, but if you were a Jew, unity would be an issue because, you see, to the Jews, there were only two races. There were Jews and everyone else, which were called Gentiles. And unity then became a focus of a great deal of Paul's letters in particular. So from the very beginning of this letter, there's this great poetic and perhaps even musical rhetoric which states that God's plan for all of creation, for the universe, was to be in healthy relationship with God and each other. In the first 14 verses of the letter, the words "in Christ" are repeated 11 times. And so there's this strong sense that if God's plan was to that the world would be reconciled, then in Christ we all are with all of creation. Whether or not individuals believe that or accept that is an aside. This is a statement of what God planned through God's salvation in Christ. The letter, in its poetry and song, goes on to argue that there is only one God, and Christ is God, and the Spirit, too, is God. And since all of God is a unity, and we are also in Christ, we are in God. We are to be unified. And we may not believe that or accept that, but the letter states that that is their belief, of which God's plan. The letter was not written using individual language. It was inclusive, saying us. Throughout the letter, the language is us and we. It's not so much an individual call to believe, but a statement of God's great intention that love would be the unifying force of the world. Now, I know that some of you may have heard those tossed about words, wives submit to your husbands. But in this context, these words were about unity. Because the very next passage says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church so much that he died. And the church, in the definition of this letter, is all of us and creation. So, just prior to those words that are often abused in the control of women, is a prayer. And some of these words about moral living, about being unified in the body. And I'll read a few words from chapter 4. Therefore, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to be one hope in your calling. He goes on, the letter writer says, we must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, and together with all malice be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's pray. And I will pray the words directly from Ephesians chapter 3. We bow before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the richness of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Councillors, before we address the official business of today's general meeting. We're going to our recognition of achievement section, and it's really fantastic that we're able to acknowledge three Redlanders here. Two of them are here, and one's busily training. It's fair to say that when the Wallaroos go to Ireland in August, not only will they be representing Australia, but a fair majority of them will be representing Redlands, and that makes us extremely proud. And on top of that, one of those players has been named captain. And so it's just a wonderful attribute to these ladies that we can acknowledge them in a public forum. So if I could just mention them and probably give you a bit of a praise on some of their successes and for us to be able to wish them well in their future endeavours with the World Cup. Shannon Parry is here this morning, and she'd not only be selected to represent the Wallaroos competing overseas, but also the captain of the Australian team competing for the World Cup. While Shannon will travel the globe representing her country in both formats of the game, sevens and 15s is her true home sports ground, and it's at the Muddies here in Redlands. Shannon co-captained the Australian women's sevens team alongside a previous Muddies player, Sharni Williams, which led the team to gold in Rio in 2016, and she's very proudly wearing her gold medal here today. Shannon also represented Australia in the sevens and 15s version of the game, but for her it's not just about the form of the game she's playing, but how many are with her on the park. Now, Shannon, we did get to actually acknowledge Shannon and Nella earlier this morning, but I am going to repeat these words because I think it really does pay testament to her dedication to not only the game, but to people and women and women's sport. Shannon said, It doesn't matter that you're a woman or a man taking the field. It is about being out there on the field and having a go. And when it comes to women's rugby, the more we can encourage women to play at grassroots level, the better women's rugby will be. Also with us today is Nella. And Nella got into rugby when she was only 6 years old with her twin brother and has been playing ever since. Nella joined the club when Shayeen, one of the other Redlanders who will be representing the Wallaroos, not here this morning, was approached about starting up a women's team at Redlands. Since then, she says it's been the best experience playing for the club, not only for the sport, but the family environment, the connection with everyone at the club, and the support they receive both on and off the field. It's also a great social gathering at the club most weekends, and it's fair to say she pays it forward by also training the young modified rugby team players as well. One of her greatest achievements has been her recent selection in the World Cup squad, but also debuting in New Zealand 4 weeks ago. As a born New Zealander, she was very proud to be able to play her first international game in front of her home city and family and friends. Just touch on Shayeen Campbell as well, who is another core leader of the Wallaroos and was one of the standout players for Australia through the 2014 World Cup. Shayeen was selected to represent Australia at the International Women's Rugby Series in New Zealand recently. And she grew up playing alongside Quade Cooper in backyard games in New Zealand in her younger years. Cooper is not only a World Cup performer in the family, obviously Shayeen is now challenging him to that role as she plays for Australian women's rugby for a second time in Ireland in August. The Wallaroos currently are placed sixth and will head to the Rugby World Cup in August to compete against Ireland. Despite being beaten by New Zealand in the International Women's Series, they have learnt some valuable lessons and are confident for the Cup. I'm sure I speak for the whole community and everyone present here today that we're very, very proud of you, and we not only wish you well in your career, but as you start to influence other people in our city, and we hope you come back with a big gold shiny cup, and we look forward to welcoming you back. I'm going to ask them to come forward so that we can present them with a certificate, and I believe we've got some various people here from media that would like to take some photos, so if we could just take that opportunity to do that now, that'd be great. Would you like to come forward?
hands together for our champion.
I didn't bring my certificate. I'll leave it till next time. Councillors, item 5 of the agenda is receipt and confirmation of minutes. The first one is the general meeting minutes of the 21st of June. Could I please have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 21st of June 2017 be confirmed? Move Councillor Gleeson, seconder Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Also, councillors, item 5.2, that the minutes of the special budget meeting held on the 26th of June 2017 be confirmed. Mover and seconder, thanks. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. There are no matters outstanding from the previous general meeting. We go to our next session of public participation. I haven't been advised of any speakers. I'll just check with the people in the public gallery. Anyone wanting to address Council? No? All right. Well, we'll move straight on then to petitions and presentations, and I have been advised that Councillor Hughes is going to do a presentation about the recent Australian Local Government National Congress.
Thank you very much, Mayor. The ALGA National Conference, Building Tomorrow's Communities, was held in Canberra on the 18th to the 21st of June. The three-day National General Assembly of Local Government was represented with Redland City Councillors, our Mayor, Karen Williams, Councillors Paul Gollet and myself, Tracy Hughes. The conference had a full agenda for all 3 days with major keynote speakers and discussion forums all very well attended and supported by 800 plus delegates from across Australia. I would like to acknowledge and commend the leadership from ALGA President Mayor David O'Loughlin, who presided over the three-day conference with grace, humour and a firm hand when required, with breakfast meetings starting at 6:30 a.m. and dinner meetings not concluding till 10:30-ish. That equates to a lot of hours of discussion and negotiations. The topics and speakers over the 3 days are too numerous to list. However, key speakers and panel sessions included opening the assembly, Senator the Honourable Fiona Nash, Minister for Regional Development, Minister for Regional Communications and Minister for Local Government and Territories. Laura Tingle, who many of us would have seen often on the ABC, a leading journalist and renowned author, kept the room silent. 800 plus delegates, that's a lot of people that were enthralled and nodded as she shared her knowledge of the political landscape, past, present and a glimpse into the future. Of interest to me and to those Queenslanders there maybe especially was Mayor Mark Jamieson from the Sunshine Coast. He showed an amazing vision for his city with the story of developing smart cities, a greenfield example, showing the infrastructure modelling for building a smart city in Maroochydore, and truly worth watching. Panel sessions included Governing into the Future and Governance in a Digital Age, topics of national significance and relevant to every council from the very large cities to small rural communities, with invited speakers, all leaders in their specific fields from across the globe, inspiring and thought-provoking. This year, the debate of motions, with over 100 motions tabled, saw the format changed and broken down into several smaller blocks of one-hour sessions, ensuring that the process was fast-flowing with timelines and debate tightly managed with a rigorous flow of motions and the voting cards working overtime. It was really a sight to see. The Honourable Bill Shorten, Leader of the Opposition, opened the second day of the Assembly and set a challenge to each council to list their top three priorities for their regions. Redlands will indeed be sharing our vision and following up to drive as much bipartisan federal government support as we can. The Honourable Michael Keenan MP, Minister for Justice, Minister assisting the Prime Minister for Counter-Terrorism, spoke on cybercrime. He contributed a strong message on the theme that stood out as a major issue facing all levels of government at every entry point across every department and every employee. Senator the Honourable Michael Scullion, Minister for Indigenous Affairs, stirred up emotions and brought to life stories of Indigenous significance that led to an emotional question time. The Honourable Angus Taylor MP, Assistant Minister for Cities and Digital Transformation, opened the Assembly on Wednesday morning with the day's agenda including national updates, with Senator Richard Di Natale, leader of the Australian Greens, Stephen Jones, Shadow Minister for Regional Services, Territories and Local Government. ALGA's national strategy and priorities were facilitated by Lee Sales, ABC 7:30 presenter, who then addressed the Assembly as keynote speaker. On the topic of disruption in media and politics and what that means for communities. My key message is of the importance of inclusion with neighbouring councils, the future value of cities as we transition to all that technology can offer and become smart cities. And the danger of cybercrime, a recurrent theme from the recent women's conference I attended. I was disappointed to miss most of Wednesday's agenda with our clash of our Redland City Council general meeting. We were on the phone for, as you know, some hours. However, with the fast pace of the Assembly, the array of quality topics, presentations and side activities, the experience was truly valuable, and again, I thank my council colleagues for allowing me to attend my second ALGA National Conference. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. I haven't been advised of any other presentations or petitions, councillors, so I move straight to order of business. Do we have any motion to change the order of business? Are there being none? Just a reminder of material personal interest and conflict of interest, councillors, under the Local Government Act 2009. A summary of those responsibilities are in your agenda. Reports to Council. We have 11.1.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Can I have a mover? Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
No.
Any other questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 11.1.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, listed under as at the 27th of June 2017. Mover for that. Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's just an officer update.
Thank you. Any other speakers or questions? Questions, Councillor Edwards?
Yes, I'd just like to have a clarification on number 5, file number 185 of 2017. The hearing was held on the 21st of June, and an extension of relevant period granted to the 29th of April 2021, approved by court. I just want an explanation about that, and is that the final position of this matter?
David, are you able to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you to Councillor Edwards. This was a matter where an approval was given a number of years ago with a four-year relevant period. The applicant didn't act on that approval, so it lapsed. Council doesn't have any power to revive a lapsed approval, but the court does. So the applicant approached the court and asked for an extension for 4 years, which the court granted. The applicant will now have to act on that approval if they wish to pursue that development. And that does bring the matter to a close in terms of the courts.
Thank you. Any other questions? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.1.3, fees and charges amendments. I've got a mover for that. Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. 11.1.3, it's listed here, CP&A fees and charges amendments. City planning and assessment is the CP&A for those that sometimes challenged by these acronyms, and it's listed in the report. Thank you, Mayor.
Questions or comments, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.1, the Redlands Boat Club lease renewal. Move for that. Move, Councillor Mitchell. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Just briefly, Mayor. Item 11.2.1, the Redlands Boat Club Incorporated lease renewal. This Redlands Boat Club has been on the site since 1st of January 1988. They built the clubhouse in 89. They've got some almost 500 members now. Current lease is due to run out at the end of the year. They've been great tenants. Fishing days, day-night cruising events, meals at the clubhouse have been wonderful tenants by all reports, and they're requesting an extension for another 30 years.
Thanks, Councillor Mitchell. Any speaker against? Any questions or comments? Councillor Bishop, a question?
Yes, just a question in regards to applications for lease terms. Just wondering if people apply for either 10, 20, 30, is there a policy position that council has in terms of how that should be managed generally? Just in terms of, I see various lengths of term, just wondering if I'm happy to let that be a question on notice, but I just think it's worth our while just being bearing that in mind. Thank you.
Just get the General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations to respond.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, through you. With respect to the lease of the term, it's assessed by council officers. The applicant for the lease extension has to make representation around their investment strategy for the leased site. On this occasion, the Redlands Boat Club have indicated they wish to invest further in their car park, boat ramp and pontoon facilities on that site over the next few years. They've also contributed, as I understand, to some of the dredging costs in that area to enable them to use the pontoon and their boat ramps. They've also garnered the advocacy and support of the local federal member, state member, and the QRBC, Queensland Recreational Boating Council, all advocating that this club be given a long-term lease of around 30 years.
Not surprised at the robustness of that, but it's just good to bear that in mind, because I know sometimes people who want to plan for their future just require different lengths of tenure. I just wanted to understand if there is a policy approach to that, but thank you.
If I may, Madam Mayor, also under the lease agreement, council has the right to revoke the lease if there's any misdemeanours or whatever, or we need the land or whatever.